Our confessional portion this evening is taken from the Canons of Dort, Chapter 5, and reading Articles 7 and 8. Found on page 110. Speaking about God preserving believers, it says, for in the first place, in these falls, the sins that we continue to struggle with, in these falls, he preserves in them the incorruptible seed of regeneration from perishing or being totally lost. And again, by his word and spirit, he certainly and effectually renews them to repentance, to a sincere and godly sorrow for their sins, that they may seek and obtain remission in the blood of the mediator, may again experience the favor of a reconciled God, through faith adore his mercies, and henceforward more diligently work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Thus it is not in consequence of their own merits or strength, but of God's free mercy, that they neither totally fall from faith and grace, nor continue and perish finally in their backslidings, which with respect to themselves is not only possible, but would undoubtedly happen. But with respect to God, it is utterly impossible, since his counsel cannot be changed, nor his promise fail. Neither can the call according to his purpose be revoked, nor the merit, intercession, and preservation of Christ be rendered ineffectual, nor the sealing of the Holy Spirit be frustrated or obliterated. So far the reading from the Confessions. Now from the Psalms, Psalm 124. If only the Arminians could keep in mind and remember this psalm, a lot of errors would be avoided. The psalmist says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Dear people of God, we're considering this evening this whole notion of the Arminians, that once we are truly saved, that it is dependent upon us to make it all the way to glory, to maintain our faith, to keep it strong, to keep it alive. And their claim is that it is possible to lose our salvation. It is possible for a genuine Christian to fail to reach that end. And in their attempts to give us a biblical justification for such a view, then they quote passages like Matthew, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Or Revelation 2:26, he who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, And when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even I, as I myself, have received power from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Now we say with unhesitatingly that we absolutely agree with those passages. We absolutely agree that one has to make it to the end, endure to the end. But we go on to say, which they don't, and that is that we will do so not in our own strength, but we will do so in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian will endure to the end. Every genuine believer will endure to the end. But the difference between them and us is, first of all, they won't say that. Because with them, there's a possibility that some may fall. And presumably some do fall. But the difference from them in us is that we say every Christian, every genuine Christian will make it to the end. But we give the glory to God. We give the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, as the scriptures do. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. But not in and of ourselves, but because of the strength that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that simply reading one psalm that we read proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is the case. We're not saying these things because we want them to be so. We don't want anyone to be lost in terms of Christians. We're not saying that at all. We're saying on the basis of what God's word says. And so this passage then, first of all, in these first couple of verses, talks about a desertion explored. It's a hypothetical. No one's saying that this happens. That's why the conditional clause is there. If it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side. And we're asked to repeat that. It's repeated. This is a hypothetical. A hypothetical that the Arminians need to take heed of. If only they would listen to these verses, this statement, they would let go of their self-confidence. Oh, we can make it to the end. We just have to have a strong enough faith. We just have to keep going. Doesn't this passage disprove that? If the Lord had not been out on our side, does it say some of us would have made it? It doesn't say that at all, does it? If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have all failed. That's the horror of their position. To place the responsibility of our salvation on our abilities and our faithfulness to the Lord is a doomed venture. And that's what this psalm says. If the Lord had not been on our side, not the best of us would have made it. As we see, of course, in Adam and Eve, as they fell. So that's what the passage is saying. It's not saying that the Lord sometimes isn't on our side. No, the Lord is on our side. Absolutely, he's on our side. But it's warning us. It's warning us exactly in terms of the error of the Arminians. It's warning us never to go alone. It's warning us never to try and stand on our feet. It's warning us never to take the devil on in our own strength. Because it's saying, this is going to be the result. This is going to be the result. And so we need to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be strengthened by the message of this psalm, which is that the Lord is on our side. He never abandons us. Because if he did, we would all be lost. If he did, we would have no defense. The Lord is our strength and our fortress. When we have to battle, as we are coming to in Ephesians, when we have to wrestle, not against flesh and blood, but in a sense against powers, principalities, against the devil himself. How in the world could we withstand him? I mean, look at the Israelites against Pharaoh. For 400 years they couldn't escape. And over again. Or the Apostle Peter, when the devil sought to attack him. If it had not been for the Lord who prayed that his faith may not fail, he would have gone down in defeat. No, it's the Lord promising us, the Lord warning us, that that will never be the case, that we're left on our own, because the consequences of that would be absolute tragedy. And a complete tragedy. For each and every one of us would have gone down. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus Christ himself declares in John chapter 17, verse 12, that not one is lost, as he's praying to his Father. Not one is lost. Not because we are all so filled with strength and wisdom and might. No. But because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. So the message in these first verses is for both the Arminians and us. A comfort to us of saying the Lord has never abandoned us. I will not leave you as orphans, the Lord Jesus Christ said, when he's leaving this life. I will send you another comforter. I will be with you even to the close of the age. He never leaves us undefended. Psalm 121. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never takes vacations. He's never distracted. His hands are not too full to take care of us. He's always there. He will never abandon us. And as I say to the Arminians, what a foolish position to take in the light of this passage, in the light of the experience of God's people, such as David, such as Abraham, such as Eve, such as Peter. I mean, the abject failure when the devil came attacking. And if it weren't for the Lord, each and every one of them would not have made it to the end. But the truth of the matter is, as Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And it didn't. Tripped up, yes, but not failed. And Paul says the same thing. We suffer all kinds of things. We're perplexed, we're confused, we're downtrodden, but we're never defeated. Never defeated. Because the Lord is on our side. And that's what Luther reflected, of course, in his great reformational hymn, when he says, did we in our own strength confide? If we relied on our own strength, our striving would be losing, a certainty. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. The Lord, Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And he does. So this psalm, as I said, in the very opening verses, really gives comfort to Christians that understand God's commitment to us. And it serves as a warning to those that try to go it alone. If you try to go it alone, not only are you going to face many, many difficult circumstances, but you're going to be overrun by them. And that's what the psalm goes on to teach. If the Lord had not been on our side. Now notice, when men rose up against us, never mind the devil. And we do wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's not only that. But that's what he starts with. When men rose up against us, what would have been the result? Then they would have swallowed us alive. So much for the Arminian trust and confidence in and of themselves. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying we are overwhelmed. We are over outnumbered. And we would be swallowed up alive. It kind of gives you, reminds you, well, certainly of Jonah, but we'll get to him in a minute, but certainly Goliath, or Pharaoh, even before that. I mean, what did the Israelites do in the face of Pharaoh? Did they organize an army? I mean, they had 400 years to plan. Did they? No. Not one. They were calling out to God, because they'd had no hope. And, of course, we have it with David. When he was tempted, he was overwhelmed. He was defeated. When the armies of Israel faced Goliath, they were humiliated. Nobody would go and take Goliath on. Every day he came out and blasted them and ridiculed them and asked them to send somebody. But nobody would go. And when David went, he was, you know, insulted. He was going to rip him apart. He was going to feed him to the birds. There's no competition. That's the way it is. When we take on the world, when we stand in our own strength, and we think we can have the victory, it's an absolutely foolish statement to make. Because the scriptures are telling us, absolutely not. Then they would have swallowed us alive. You know, when you swallow people alive, that means you don't really make any effort. You don't even have to chew. Right? Like the Jonah and the whale. I mean, the great fish. It didn't fight with Jonah. It didn't get him and wrestle with him and finally get... No, he just swallowed him up. There was no competition. They win hands down. That's what the scriptures are teaching. They win hands down. No. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he's speaking about his return, coming back, and the times of persecution that will arise, and this roaring lion that is seeking to devour us, the question is asked, would there be faith on the earth? Would there be anybody left? Well, you can be assured that if it weren't God preserving us, there would be no one left. If it were possible for the devil to attack our faith, he would attack it and he would defeat it. But it's not possible for him, because it's the incorruptible seed. However hard he tries, even though you put people into a fiery furnace that is heated up many times its normal heat, nevertheless, it was not able to destroy the faith of Daniel's three friends. They survived. No, they didn't just survive. They enjoyed a most wonderful victory of faith. But it wasn't them, was it? Because it wasn't just three people in the furnace, was it? There were four. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was there with them, preserving them. You know, it's one thing to hold Peter's hand when the waves are billowing all around you. It's another thing to be with your people in the intense burning and heat and not a single hair of their body being singed. That's protection that each and every one of us receives from the Lord Jesus Christ. The other imagery that is given in verse 4 is, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our souls. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. That's the way the world comes at us. You know very well that in the scriptures, the sea represents the world and everything wicked that comes out of the world, right? The monsters, the empires, the evil empires that come, that the Bible speaks about, come out of the sea. And that's why in the heaven, we're told that there is no more sea. There is no more disturbance. But that's what he does. He comes out and they overwhelm us. They come wave after wave after wave. Kind of reminds you of, the crossing of the Red Sea. That the Egyptians, in the face of those waters that were held up, piled up, when they came upon them, there was no standing firm. The Egyptians didn't swim out of it. The whole army was destroyed. And we got an example of that a number of years ago with the tsunami. I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives? That's what God's word is saying. If the Lord had not been on our side, it would be like standing in front of that tsunami thinking, I'm going to make it. I'm going to stand my ground. It's not going to knock me over. Oh, but it will. And it did. And that imagery again is given to us in Revelation, where it talks about the devil coming after the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, after he couldn't defeat the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ was taken up into heaven. What does it say? It says, so the serpent spewed out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So the same kind of imagery. So the world will come after us, instigated by the devil. The world will come at us, as I said, wave after wave after wave. And it gets more intense towards Christians. And we see that. I mean, we're not really seeing a greatest intensity. I mean, in other places, it's much, much worse. But that's where it's going. That's where it's going. The world is focusing upon us. And it will knock us over. Believe you me, it will knock us over. Again, the Arminians need to hear that. You want to stand on your own in your own strength? The Bible is saying, watch out, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be knocked off your feet. And yet they still say, no, we have to make it. We just have to try harder. We just have to dig in. We just have to be more faithful. No, no. But what does it say? The streams would have gone over our soul. The swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Not just physically, but it would damage our soul. And it would have, were it not for the fact that we have an anchor, as I was saying this morning, an anchor for our soul. That's what Hebrews says. The rich promises of God. Not just promises, but the actual help, day by day help and protection. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's not talking about buildings, he's talking about people. People. And so when these waters come to bring disruption into our soul, cause us to doubt, cause us to give up, it's not going to succeed. Just as it didn't succeed with Jonah. Though he got himself into that trouble. And he was, as it were, at the gates of Sheol, in the bottom of the sea. Talk about being engulfed and taken under, and the waters going over your soul. But they did not win. Because God, by his almighty power, secured his soul and brought him out on dry ground. Sometimes it's our fault we get ourselves into trouble. Sometimes we do the work of the opposition, as it were. We trap ourselves. But even then, God doesn't give up on us. Deliver us from evil. Keep us away from temptation. This deliverance, of course, is experienced, as the psalmist says, in the ending verses. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our souls have escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. People of God, this is not theoretical. This is not, well, the Lord may come to our aid. The Lord will help the good ones. No, no, no. The Lord will help each and every one of us. He will stand for his people. He will break the attempts of the devil, the schemes that he puts in place, that he thinks he's so subtle and he can trap us just like little children. And we're not going to be any opposition for him whatsoever, rather like Goliath. I'm going to eat them up alive. There's no trouble. A little subtlety and they'll fall by the wayside. No, no, no. Not this time. Oh, you did it with Adam and Eve. But they stood on their own. We don't stand on our own. We stand with the Lord of hosts. He is protecting us. And every evil scheme, even though they think that it's succeeding, they think that they're going to win, but it ends up in defeat. And what a paradigm, what an example of this whole thing that we have in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil thought he'd won. The devil thought he'd got the victory over the Son of God as he sees him crucified on the cross. But it was his greatest defeat. The devil no doubt thought he won when he got the three friends of Daniel to be cast into the fiery furnace and later on to get Daniel cast into the lion's den. But nowhere was the glory of God brought out into the open for all to see than in those events. All that the devil does, as Revelation says, tries to get the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, spews out this flood and all the intimidation and the persecution that he sends on our way. But what happens? The earth opens up and swallows it up. And God's people are brought safely through. People of God, what is our response then to all of this? Well, the last verse directs us to that, does it not? Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. As I said, oh, that the Arminians would understand this passage and come to the same conclusion and begin to say that yes, every Christian must make it to the end. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Thanks be to God who sustains us, who protects us, who strengthens us. Not like a passenger on a bus that he's protecting. No, but he gives us strength. And when we fall, he raises us up again. Like he said to Peter, I pray that your faith may not fail. And so when he sinned against God, when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he stumbled, but his faith did not fail, as is evidenced by the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ restored him. And then that same temptation and that same attempt by the devil failed when Peter himself gave up his life. Gave up his life for his Lord and Savior. People of God, the devil isn't going to win in anyone's case that is a Christian. And we need to know that for our comfort. And furthermore, we need to give him the praise and the glory. When we enter heaven, there will be no shouting on our part, I'm number one, I'm number one. No. We're going to say, thanks be to God. We are more than conquerors through him who strengthens us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again that you help us. You teach us the reality of our lives so that we may not be perplexed and confused and frightened and disturbed in our minds and hearts in this fierce battle in which we find ourselves. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you stand by our side. And even though, as in the case of the Israelites, we are outnumbered manyfold, nevertheless, so often, the Israelites enjoyed victory without ever raising a sword, because you were the captain of the hosts. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that that is still the case. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might truly remember that and find comfort in that. And our Father, we pray that all your people may know that assurance, so that in the midst of the battle, we may never give up the faith, we may never recant, but rather that we may stand firm in our confession and see your power at work in us. We thank you for keeping us thus far. We thank you for bringing us through the severest of trials in our past. And here we are at your throne, worshiping and adoring you, and giving you all the praise and glory.